Well, I've already read to you from Genesis 3, the Old Testament, beginning of the Bible. I want you now to open to the New Testament, to the book of Romans. If you're new to the Bible, Romans would be right after the Gospels and the book of Acts. So you've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, four Gospels, followed by the book of Acts, which is a history of the church, the early church. And then you have the book of Romans, which was written by the Apostle Paul to the church, the believers in Rome. In Romans chapter 5, you're about to hear and see perhaps the clearest description of God's provision of salvation for sinners. This is God's message to you and to me. At Cornerstone, we recognize that we are not better than anyone else. We are normal, common, everyday sinners, but we understand the grace of God given to us in Jesus Christ, which has made us new creatures in Him. And you will hear and see that news. Perhaps it'll be for the first time this morning. Perhaps it will be for the 100th time, and it will enrich your heart and life and faith in a way that is a tremendous blessing. But here it is, beginning in verse 12. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. Type means picture, a foreshadow, looking forward to someone else. It's important to remember. But the free gift, verse 15, is not like the trespass, for if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin, for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that, as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, this is a passage of contrasts. There are four contrasts, really, which then reveal to us the bad news of sin and the good news of Jesus. There are two men. There are two consequences that came as a result of the actions of these men. There are two legal sentences based upon those consequences. And then there are two eternal destinies. To make this simple for you to understand this morning, because this is the most important message you will ever hear, the gospel of Jesus Christ, we've got two slides that will help you to see this. The first is the bad news, or what we might call the imputation of Adam's sin, okay? So the Bible refers to Jesus as the second Adam, and we'll see in a little bit why that is, okay? But the first Adam is spoken of in great detail here in the verses that I just read to you. And you might say, well, why don't you just jump into the good news of Jesus? Because we all like to hear good news. Well, because without understanding the bad news, the good news won't mean anything. And the Bible begins by explaining the bad news of man, and therefore then we can understand the good news. If we fail to be honest with the bad news, then the good news means nothing. And there are many, many churches, too many in our country, in our world, that want to minimize the bad news. And as a result, unfortunately, the good news has really lost the power of its punch. And you fail to recognize just how incredibly, incredibly, incredibly good this good news is. So walk through the passage with me to understand, first of all, the bad news, which begins with a man named Adam. Adam is the first man. He is a direct creation of God. He is the representative of the human race. He's referred to there in verse 12, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man. Genesis 2 makes it clear that the Lord God formed Adam out of the dust of the ground. He breathed into him the breath of life. He became a living being. This one man is mentioned numerous times here in the passage that I just read to you. Verse 12, one man. Verse 14, death reigned from Adam. Here that one man is identified as Adam. We hear of one man's transgression in verse 15, one man's sin in verse 16, one man's trespass in verse 17. Again, in verse 18, one man's trespass, and then one man's disobedience in verse 19. Adam is where the bad news begins. Adam is the first man created by God to live in fellowship with God. He is created for the glory of God. What that means is to reflect what God is like. He and Eve were made in the image of God, in the image and likeness of God. But Adam's actions resulted in sin. He sinned, first of all, himself, he and his wife. It says that in verse 12. Just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. So sin came into the world through this one man. So through the actions of this one man, sin as a principle, as a power, entered into this world. Sin as a legal offense against God, as a transgression, as a trespass. It all came through Adam. And then death came through that sin. See, before sin, there was no death. And so death, verse 12 says, spread to all men because all sinned. See, Adam was the, what we might call the federal representative of the human race. So when Adam sinned, all who would be descendants of Adam sinned. Because they would all then inherit this new fallen nature from Adam. It says, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. In other words, the law of God makes us more accountable for our sin. That's his point. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning, notice this, was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. So you might say, well, why should I be held guilty for sin if I didn't sin in the exactly same way that Adam did? And the Bible says it very clear, because Adam was the representative as the first man, as the first human being, he was the representative of the human race. And so in Adam, we all sinned. Well, what does that mean? What is sin? Sin at its very core is self-will. Self-willed independence. That's what sin is at its very core. It's independence from God. The Apostle John called it lawlessness. So sin came into the world when Adam functioned as if there was no law. He disregarded the law of God concerning what he could and couldn't eat in the garden. And so acting in self-will and rebellion was defiance against God, sinning in the very presence of God, as God was in the garden with them, and therefore sin spread to all mankind. You see that clearly in verse 12. And it was as a result of that sin, then, death came to all men. But you say, well, what does that mean? Well, it refers to two kinds of death, physical death and spiritual death. Physically, Adam and Eve began to die at the very moment that they sinned. That's when the aging process began. Prior to that, they were created to live forever. And had they remained in fellowship with God and in obedience to Him, that's exactly what would have happened. But they sinned against God's law, and therefore they began to die. But spiritually, they also died. Because think of death this way. Death is separation. The moment we die physically, our body is separated from our spirit. And our spirit either goes to live with God because we're trusting in Jesus, or it goes to live with the devil, eventually in hell, because we're not trusting in Jesus Christ as the one and only second Adam who was sent to rescue us from the consequences of the first Adam. And so they began to immediately sense the effects of sin. Sin destroyed their relationship with God. They died physically. Evidences of this would be that they hid from God. Immediately, they made garments for themselves to hide their shame. Prior to sin, there was no shame. Prior to sin, there was no reason to run away and hide. But the minute they sinned, they became guilty before the holy God, and sin began this process of death, both physically and spiritually. But what the scriptures teach us here is that this didn't stop with Adam. This didn't stop with Eve. It spread to who? All. It spread to all men because all sinned. So all sinned in Adam. See, Adam's sin was imputed to all mankind. Credited would be another word you could use. It's a very important word this morning. I want you to get it. That's why it's on the slide twice, once for the first Adam, once for the second Adam. The word imputation means to have someone else's deeds credited to you. So, Adam being the first human being, the representative of the human race, when he sinned, his sin was credited, imputed to all who would be his descendants. That's you, that's me. And that explains why each of us is born with a sin nature. And you know that. You know you sin. You know your children sin long before you can sit down and give them a class called Sinning 101. The selfishness begins to ooze out of them very quickly. Their self-will, their defiance, their independence. That's evidence of the sin nature that we are all born with. And this sin nature has impacted every part of our being, our mind, our emotion, our will. The theological term for that would be totally depraved. That is, we are totally depraved in our being. This does not mean that every person is as bad as he or she can be. That's not what total depravity means. It means that depravity or sinfulness has impacted every part of our being from head to toe. Our mind, our emotion, or our will. Every part of our being is under the influence of sin. We are guilty. That's what the Scripture says. We are guilty. That guilt then leads to a legal sentence pronounced by God that we call condemnation. We are condemned. We are guilty. Look at verse 16. The free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin, for the judgment following one trespass brought what? Condemnation. So sin brought judgment, and the judgment brought condemnation. What that means is we have a spiritual need that we cannot fix. We have no power to fix ourselves. We are, from head to toe, every part of our being, under the influence of sin. Now, you understand what a DUI is, right? Driving under the influence. It's a criminal offense to operate a moving vehicle while under the influence of a foreign substance. When I was a kid, it was called DWI, driving while intoxicated, because it was pretty much restricted to alcohol and drunkenness. But as man's sinfulness continues to expand, and more new drugs continue to be created by man, it's been changed to driving under the influence, because you can be under the influence of many things, not just alcohol. And that's the point here. Think of total depravity this way. Sin influences every part of your being. You were born with it running through your bloodstream. You were born with sin running through your bloodstream, so to speak. It influences everything you think, everything you feel, everything you desire, everything that you do. And this is what your sin nature is always doing. It's always seeking to control you. That's what the sin nature is. And the Bible is saying to us here that all who are in Adam are guilty. His descendants are guilty. We are guilty because we are sinners. And we are guilty because we sin. It's important for us to understand that we are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. It is our nature. We have received this nature from Adam. All have sinned. And that's why you see the frustration even of the Christian. In the Apostle Paul's writings in Romans chapter 7, the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, I still do. Because there is this sin that is in us. It's our nature. That condemnation then leads ultimately to eternal death. As sin brought death into the world, so the sentence of condemnation leads to eternal death away from the presence of God. And the Bible describes that place called hell in horrific detail. And we looked at that horrifying place a few weeks ago in the sermon from Luke 16. This is the bad news. This is the bad news for all who are connected to Adam, which is every human being. But there are two wonderful words in the Bible. But God. But God. So after explaining the bad news, what does the apostle do? He says, but God, verse 15. But the free gift is not like the trespass. So I'm about to give to you news that is far more spectacular than the awfulness of the bad news. This is the good news, so don't despair. There is hope. The good news is not like the bad news. It's infinitely superior. So let's think about the imputation of Christ's righteousness. There's that word again, imputation. So we who are born in Adam, it is imputed to us. His sin, his guilt is credited to us. We are then born sinners. But now, what is the good news like? Well, it is so much better than the bad news. He says in verse 15 that it has abounded. In verse 20, where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So if you think that the bad news is bad, wait until you see how good the good news is. God's grace has abounded over man's sin. Grace has overcome the sentence of condemnation. Now, take a look at this. It begins with a man, again, Jesus Christ. He's referred to in other places in the New Testament as the second Adam or the last Adam. He is the God-man. He is the answer to man's sin problem. Verse 15, but the free gift is not like the trespass, for if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift of the grace, or free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. So the good news begins with one man as well, but this is the God-man. This is Jesus Christ. Adam brought sin into the world. What did Jesus bring into the world? He brought righteousness. Look at verse 16. And the free gift is not like the result of one man's sin, for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of what? Righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. It's really important to understand that the gift that Paul is talking about here is more specific than salvation. It would be accurate for us to say the greatest gift of God is our salvation, right? That would be accurate. It would be accurate for us to say the greatest gift of God is Jesus Christ, his Son. That would be accurate. But he even makes it narrower and even more accurate, you might say, in saying the gift that he's talking about is the gift of righteousness. Now, why is that so important? It's this important. For you and I to go to heaven, we must not only have our sins forgiven, but we must be 100% righteous. And you say, well, forget it, I'm out of here. That's impossible. Yeah, you're right, it is. It is impossible in yourself. It is impossible in myself. But here's Paul's point. Just as the sin of Adam was imputed to you, so when you come to Jesus Christ as the second Adam, his righteousness is imputed to you. Does that make sense? So to go to heaven when you die, you must be more than simply forgiven by God. You must have more than an empty slate. You must have perfect righteousness. Well, how in the world are you going to get that? How in the world am I going to get that? Well, Paul says it's a gift. Gift by the grace of the one man. It's the free gift. It's the free gift. Look at how many times he says that. Verse 15, twice. Verse 16, twice. Verse 17, the free gift. Five times he says, it's a free gift. What is a free gift? The free gift is righteousness. This is how it works. Jesus, the Son of God, lived a perfect life. He fulfilled the law, never sinned against God. And when he went to the cross, he presented that perfect life, that sinless life, to God as an offering in place of our guilty lives. And now the Bible says that when you and I come to Jesus, this is what happens. Our sins are forgiven because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed for our sins, and we receive the gift of righteousness, Jesus' righteousness, imputed to our spiritual accounts, so that now when God looks at us, he sees us not simply as a sinner, and definitely not as a sinner who is going to be condemned, but as a sinner clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He sees us through Christ. And now he looks at you, not as a sinner who deserves to be condemned, but as a son who is graciously loved and welcomed by the Father, because Jesus already took care of everything that was between you and the Father. Is this making sense? You've got to understand this. So, Jesus, the one man, brought righteousness. He brings righteousness to those who believe. This we see in the chapters that sandwich chapter 5. So, sometime this afternoon, sometime this week, I want you to read and think through chapter 4 and chapter 6. Because those two chapters tell us how we must respond to this news. See, all who are in Adam are guilty as sinners. All who are identified with Adam are guilty as sinners, but it's only those who then identify themselves with Jesus who then receive righteousness, which results then in justification. So we identify with Adam through our natural birth, but we can only identify with Christ through a spiritual birth, or through what the Bible calls the new birth, being born again. When we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we are born again, united to him, so that now everything that belongs to Jesus is given to us. And so God looks at us in the courtroom of heaven, and before he sees our sinfulness, he sees the righteousness of Jesus, and he says, "You, I declare to be righteous." Sometimes people will define justification in a very simple way for children to understand. Justification is just as if I've never sinned. It's actually an inferior understanding to what justification is. It's not just wiping my slate clean as if I had never sinned. It's way, way, way better than that. It's washing my sin away and then giving me 100% righteousness and treating me as if I did it. Adopting me into the family of God with full rights and privileges that belong to Jesus. That's incredible. That's justification. To be declared righteous by God. And that then leads to eternal life. Look at verse 18. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. This doesn't mean that all are automatically saved, because chapters 4 and 6 make that very clear, but it's justification with all those who are connected to this one second Adam. The grace of God has abounded all the more, it says in verse 20. And look at what it leads to ultimately. So that as sin reigned in death, grace also must reign through righteousness, leading to what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Is that good news or what? Jesus Christ, the second Adam, brings righteousness into the world. Takes that righteousness to the cross and offers it as a sacrifice in our place. And now all those who believe receive that righteousness and are justified before God, declared righteous by God, which leads to eternal life. That's the good news. There is no there's no better news than that. So two sets of news, and you really need to understand both of them. You need to understand the bad news that Adam brought sin into the world, and all human beings sinned in Adam, therefore you sinned, and therefore you stand condemned before God, and that condemnation will lead to eternal death. But God. God reversed the effects of the first Adam by sending the second Adam, who is Jesus Christ. And he is the one and only one who can save us from our sins. So the question you have to answer this morning is this: what family are you in today? Are you still in the family of Adam only? Or are you in the family of Jesus Christ? Are you in the family of God? Have you been made alive by God in Jesus Christ? If you were to die today, what would your sentence be in the courtroom of heaven? Would it be condemned because you're still in Adam? Or would it be righteous? Because you're a sinner, you know that. But you also know that there is a Savior whose grace abounds, superabounds your sin. I hope and pray that it is Jesus Christ whom you are looking to. And so, Father, so work in our hearts to accomplish your will. May the Holy Spirit take the saving power of the gospel and apply it to all here today who need it, who need to apply it to their own hearts for the very first time. Even those listening online, may they see and understand how desperate their need is, but then how glorious your provision is for our need. And may they come to you and trust in Jesus this very day for your honor and glory through Christ. We pray.